The testing, can you hear me? The meeting of the MTA board will please come to order.
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good to see you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Director Wilson. Director Huizar.
Here.
Director Fasana.
Here.
Director Najarian.
Here.
And Chair Villaraigosa.
Present. Also, Director Katz is present. Still waiting on a, been waiting on a quorum. Why don't we begin with the Pledge of Allegiance?
Put your hand on your heart. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we vote on the consent without?
No, you can't.
Yeah, okay. We go to the CEO report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me ask Doug Failing to come up to report on the status of the bridge on the SR-60 and corrective actions that MTA and Caltrans has undertaken. After that, I'll ask Paul Taylor to comment on actions underway and being taken by both MTA bus as well as Metrolink. Mr. Failing?
Okay. Thank you, Art, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have with me Roy Fisher today, Chief of Construction for Caltrans here in District 7. We've obviously had a very busy 24 hours or so here with what's happening on Route 60. It's getting full emergency procedure as one would expect for this. I'll ask Mr. Fisher to talk really quick about what's happening with the structure.
Thank you for inviting me here. Just a quick update. The 60 freeway at Paramount Boulevard was shut down yesterday due to a tanker fire. We've been assessing and continue to assess the structure capabilities of the bridge with the utmost importance being given to public safety and the worker safety. Right now, we're fairly confident the eastbound direction is going to come down. That should start later on today. This morning, we're still looking at the westbound direction with our structure maintenance crews. We spent the night cleaning the bridge up so that we could get a look at it because all the fire soot that was on the bridge. And so they're doing that right now. If it can stand in place to allow traffic to be open, that's what will happen. But the assessment will continue, though, on what the best strategy is in replacing the bridge. For sure, we're going to replace the eastbound overpass, the eastbound spans. The westbound, we still don't know yet. We have a contractor on board through emergency contract orders through our director. So they've been on board since yesterday. They have a subcontractor out there to do the demolition, and they're ready to go.
Thank you, Roy. The subcontractor in this one is Penn Hall, same one that worked with us on the Carmageddon. Very experienced contractor, very experienced subcontractor, and Caltrans is obviously treating this as an emergency. Mr. Reagan is with us here someplace. He's off on a phone call. The FHWA, along with Caltrans statewide, are having continuous briefings on the status of the project to bring this to fruition. Once the demolition is done and they've reopened the freeway, they'll use a different emergency contract procedure to bring a new bridge into place for Paramount Boulevard. Current estimate of that activity is under 6 months in order to reopen Paramount Boulevard. From Metro's perspective, we've been in touch with the adjacent cities. We've put a lot of money into signal synchronization in the area, and we're in touch with all the cities and LA County, getting a lot of support on adjusting signal timing so that we can maximize traffic until we're able to get the freeway reopened and the immediate emergency is taken care of. We will then continue to work with the city as Paramount Boulevard is closed on things that are needed for traffic control in that area. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Taylor on things that are happening with the bus and rail system.
We have currently two of our lines are on detour through that area, lines 84 and 176. We've deployed extra contingents of supervisors to the affected area who are empowered to add buses to service as needed. We've also been in touch with Foothill Transit, who report that they've had to have no detours. They have many of their buses running late, but they have no plans to add extra service. We've also been in touch with Metrolink, who indicate that they're engaging in a media blitz to encourage people to take Metrolink. They're meeting as we speak to plan their further steps, but we've encouraged them to offer a heavily discounted pass for the remainder of December to anyone who wants to take up riding Metrolink right now. And that completes my report.
Mr. Chair, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Public comment.
Is there public comment regarding this CEO's report? Yes. Sun Yang Yang?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to follow up on the 60 quickly, if I could do that.
Okay.
I just wanted to request as well that we continue to work with the adjoining cities with Paramount being closed. It's a key north-south access point across that freeway. It is somewhat limited passage in that particular area. So if we work with the adjoining cities to look at what other strategies are signaling to get people north and south, I'm concerned a bit about the longer-term north-south movements. And, again, any media blitz on carpooling would be helpful.
We'll follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fasana. Point well taken. Yes, Sun Yang Yang?
We'll skip.
Skip. Thank you. Consent calendar. Well, first of all, I believe that we have a quorum present.
He signed up for item 3, not item 4.
I'm told you signed up for item 3, 9, and 4.
No, 3, not 4.
3, not 4, rather. For you signed up for item 3. Let the record reflect that Mr. Ridley Thomas is present and that a quorum has been established. Let's go back to the consent calendar.
Second.
I understand that item
19 and 35.
Items 19 and 35 have been pulled. Consent calendar has been moved by Mr. Katz, seconded by Mr. Fasana. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number 4, or item number 3, is my report. Let me start by saying that I think this body should take the FTA audit findings seriously. Complying with civil rights regulations should be our priority. I embrace those audit findings. I believe that we, and I've said, I was speaking with Mr. Wilson, and we were talking about a first-class bus service earlier, since the early 90s, I've said that I believe that we need a first-class bus service. And yesterday I had an opportunity to speak to Secretary LaHood and FTA Administrator Peter Rogoff about this issue. We all agreed on the importance of a quality bus system. I know that this board will support efforts to make sure that executive staff and MTA consultants work on Title VI compliance, that we make sure that everybody has sufficient training and expertise to be able to do that. Earlier this year, if you remember, in August, the board approved a motion that I sponsored that directed the CAO to preserve all bus service levels for this fiscal year. This means maintaining our current fare structure so our transit dependent can use our system. You know, in 2007, when we voted for Measure R, we put in there, we froze fares for students, seniors, the disabled, and Medicare patrons. And I believe that we need to look at our service cuts in a cumulative way. Every time they're presented to us, they're presented in a piecemeal fashion. And one of the things that we've said we've got to make sure that we do is look at them cumulatively. I expect that this board will support that effort. With respect to another matter, Union Station, in March of this year, I introduced a motion to begin a thorough and complete master plan process. Union Station will be the hub of transportation and will, and it should incorporate a community that needs to be part of a unique planning effort. I understand a national group of experts from the Urban Land Institute just completed an assessment of the station, and I look forward to the upcoming months as we kick off a design competition and ultimately begin the master planning of this wonderful and historic facility. In addition, I'd like to highlight an item on today's board agenda. It's a transit-oriented development grant. As you know, traditional TODs is a mixed-use residential or commercial developments designed to maximize access to public transportation. I think it's important as we build, as we double the size of our rail system, as we build a first-class bus system, that we look at opportunities to really create transit-oriented development that meets the scale of what we're doing here. Historically, what we've done is we build a station, and 5-10 years afterwards, we begin to plan the design of the transit-oriented district. This gives us an opportunity to really replan our cities, and I'm hoping that we'll move ahead as we build Crenshaw Exposition and the Foothill Goal Line. So that's my report. I understand that there is public comment, beginning with Mr. Walsh. Good morning, Mr. Walsh.
Good morning. Welcome back. John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Just Google Walsh Confidential. And what a great victory. And the Bus Riders Union led us on this. You are officially declared by the U.S. Department of Transportation to be racist. I see signs. More trains, more service. But less buses, less service. Fewer buses, fewer service. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're the only big city mayor in America that has on your forehead stamped racist. And let's talk about Mr. LaHood. Mr. LaHood, who saved us, is not a white man. Did you know that? He may look like a white man, but he is a Arab proud minority American. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Zev isn't here. And I'm telling you, Mark Ridley Thomas, the minorities on this board support rail. And I'm telling you, the rail service is worse than the bus service.
Thank you, Mr.
HollywoodHighlands.org. You're welcome.
Esperanza Martinez.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. Welcome back, Mayor Villaraigosa. I appreciated your comments around civil rights, but if you have a real commitment to civil rights and protecting them and expanding them, Mayor Villaraigosa, we ask that you pull item 59, that you reject staff's corrective action plan in response to the compliance review. We ask that you open up a public process where the people who have been impacted by the civil rights harms are the ones that are actually being sought out for actual remedies. Item 45, I mean, you just brushed over item 45, and what item 45 does, the service standards, is that it actually codifies racial discrimination when you look at the headways that are going to be locked into bus. So we ask that you pull item 45 and have that be a real discussion. Mayor Villaraigosa, we hope that you've at least had an opportunity to look at this corrective action plan. We assume that the board has not, but we believe that that needs to be a public process, and that this board has to have the opportunity to speak and debate on important civil rights policies.
Thank you.
That will lead the future of this agency.
Thank you, Esperanza. Mark Lopez. Mark Lopez.
I'm Mark Lopez with Communities for a Better Environment, and I stand here in solidarity with the Bus Riders Union. Last weekend, we had a large demonstration of about 250 people here in downtown LA, in solidarity with communities all over the world, fighting for climate justice. This was in response to the UN climate meetings in Durban, South Africa. And so part of our struggle here is recognizing that climate change begins in our communities, because that's where we find, a large level of pollution, right? And so we have these postcards here signed. We have about 600 here. We have hundreds more pouring in. We couldn't print them fast enough to actually get them here, but it says, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Los Angeles MTA, we call on you to pursue genuine and just solutions at the regional level. Mayor Villaraigosa, as the chair of the MTA board, you said you want to make LA a model city for the 21st century, yet transportation policies under your watch are moving in the wrong direction. In a city world famous for auto-fueled air pollution, deep cuts in bus service and transit fare increases by the MTA have forced more cars back on the road while harming transit-dependent low-income communities and communities.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
You can read the rest of it here, but I just want to make sure you know, pollution starts in our communities, and the solutions also start in our communities.
Arnold Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning. Arnold Sachs. I'm reading from this article on December 13th, MTA plans civil rights monitoring. Federal audit finds complaints in record it's recorded meeting riders' language needs. I don't know what the problem is. Meeting riders' language needs. You speak the language of corruption. That's the language that goes on here. What's the problem? The bus riders union complains. Everybody else complains. I'm just complaining about how you modify a state law. Get away with that crap. The language of corruption is the language that you know. The most important part of that language is get the money first. The hell with everything else. But make sure you get the money. I don't know what the feds are looking for. It's just the language of corruption. It's been going on for 20 years or better. And it'll continue as long as you're in office.
Item number 53.
Chairman, members of the board, I'm pleased to present item 53, our federal and state legislative program for calendar year 2012. In a unique congressional environment, our federal program has moved apace this year. Our signature effort has been on America Fast Forward, and on that front, we have gotten two of the three fundamental tiers of the program advanced mightily, and they are the TIFIA program, thanks to Senator Boxer, and the strong support of Chairman Mica in the House, and on the New Starts front, thanks to great advocacy of the chair and many members of this board, it appears that the New Starts program that started this year under threat of elimination by opponents in the House of Representatives not only emerged as a robust program this year, but one where we appear to be poised to participate in next year. The last tier of America Fast Forward, where we continue to have challenges, is in the bond aspect, and we're going to continue to beat the pavement in Washington, D.C. to advance that. We're also working to advance our non-New Starts projects, and per board policy, we're working to find non-New Starts funding for the Crenshaw project and the Foothill project. We're also working hand-in-hand with Chairman Mica and Senator Boxer on our authorization priorities. These range from the rail modernization program to the CMAQ program. We've got a number of other key priorities for 2012. I'd like to name a few. One is positive train control, a key priority that this board has set as a major agenda item. We're facing some challenges with regard to spectrum with the Federal Communications Commission and with respect to funding from the Congress. We're going to be working hard on that. We've got a CNG tax issue. Every month, this agency gets $1.65 million in tax credits from a CNG tax credit, the result of us having the cleanest fleet in the nation. That tax credit is expiring on December 31st, so that $1.6 million a month is going to be lost to this agency. We've urged members of the Ways and Means Committee, members of the Senate, to renew that CNG tax credit. It looks like it may not be done by the end of this year. And if it's not, we're going to be working to make sure that a tax credit with retroactivity is adopted by Congress next year. And another issue we're working hard on in 2011 and apparently in 2012 will be the commuter tax benefit. The commuter tax benefit for transit riders now stands at $230 with Congress not acting to renew this tax benefit, that benefit will be reduced to $125. And what will occur is the disparity between the
parking debate
just and the transit will become apparent. Parking benefit will remain $230, yet those who decide to take transit, who decide to commit themselves to using our services, will not receive the full benefit, and we're concerned about that. Those are a number of the federal items that we're going to be charging on Capitol Hill in the coming months, and if there are any questions regarding the federal agenda, I would be pleased and happy to address them. Otherwise, I'll pass the baton over to my colleague, Michael Turner.
Mr. Chairman, I have a quick question. If on the federal process, is there any thought in terms of the CEQA, NEPA streamlining? I know we've had a little bit of success here with this agency on a pilot basis, but should that be a goal as well?
That should. We have fought for the general proposition of the same NEPA delegation that occurred in Safety Lou, the 2005 legislation that permitted the state of California to accept that responsibility on behalf of the federal government, the Federal Highway Administration, and have that apply towards transit projects. Congressman Adam Schiff has adopted that as a priority. In the Senate, Senator Boxer has been interested in this proposition. However, there remain significant environmental stakeholders who are concerned that the delegation of NEPA authority for transit projects would somehow compromise the environment. I think Board Member Fasana, if that's something we'd like to add to the agenda, I think it's something that is consistent with where our agency is going.
Yeah, I would like to add it. And again, I can see there might be concerns in other parts of the country maybe that don't have the same strength of environmental standards that California does. But through some type of review process, if there could be delegation to states like California, I think that would be desirable to have that as a goal. So I'll move that as an amendment.
Mr. Mayor. Is an amendment necessary for that? We have already been on record in support of, and my recollection was both MICA and Boxer at a hearing that Mr. Kanabi and I were present speaking about America Fast Forward and specifically the expansion of the TIFIA program. There was bipartisan consensus that, I mean, the way it works now is we have to do them consecutive, what's it called when you do it? We have to do it consecutively instead of concurrently.
Currently, yep.
And my understanding was there was support for doing it concurrently.
There is. There's bipartisan support. And I think what we'll do is, in the coming second session, 112th Congress, Director Fasana, we'll make it clear that that is part of our
legislation. It's not listed in the goals. I'm just saying if we should list in the goal. If it is one of our goals, it should be listed in the goals.
I have no issue with that. Is without objection. And then with respect to positive train control, let's be clear. While there is still, unfortunately, after the Metrolink accident, there's still debate in the Congress about this issue. As a result of our efforts, and we've moved ahead at Metrolink to implement positive train control. And in the first quarter of 2013, we will have positive train control implemented in the Metrolink system. So that won't be impacted by what happens in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we remain, and this occurs, and Art sees this at the national meetings, we're a national leader when it comes to the PTC.
Well, and we should be. We know better than most the impact of not having positive train control and the devastation it could leave. And then finally, Mr.
Just wanted to say that back in Washington with Metrolink, we are there being a very loud voice within the transportation industry that the commitment to positive train control has to be unrelenting. We don't want delays. We don't want compromises. We support Metrolink down the line on this issue.
Any other comments?
End of time.
Public comment. DeJohn Williams, or Dr. I'm sorry, Dr. Tom Williams.
Joined PERS after 97, so he's capped at 245,000.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, and also life member of the Sierra Club. I understand the difference between concurrence and accelerated, and we're quite concerned regarding any acceleration of the CEQA and NEPA process, whether it's concurrent or sequential. Where's the bus program in this? We've already heard that there's a problem with the bus program. Can we get more bus rapid transit for at least four corridors that we have already defined in the Northeast LA area? Also, freight. Get freight on rail at the port. Right now, we're reviewing the Southern California International Gateway, and it's not really a gateway. It's well beyond that. It's probably in the living room or maybe even in the bathroom, but we need it on the dock, not near the port. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh?
Versus.
John Walsh, Google Walsh Confidential, 100,000 successful server requests a month. America fast forward, America slow backward. I'm telling you right now, what does the MTA board and the average MTA bus have in common? They both arrive always 1/2 hour late. That's what's happening here. And I'm telling you that MICA is a fascist, racist, right-wing Floridian Republican who is chairman of transportation. Go check it out on our website. The mayor and his friends have put enormous amounts of money into a slush fund. And this is legal. It's legal, but it's immoral. A slush fund to pet, which MICA uses to elect Tea Party candidates. In other words, money is going to Tea Party candidates, and as a result, the fascist, racist MICA and the rest
Thank
of you.
Thank you, will get Mr. Walsh.
Your train system.
Jose Rodriguez.
Diane Du Bois.
Don't you wish you were back in China?
Diane Du Bois on the line.
Hello, good morning. My name is Jose Rodriguez, and I'm kind of don't understand 100% perfectly this item, but I just want to let you know on transportation. I'm glad they won the opportunity of funding LA County with more transportation projects. So that's something that they need to work on as soon as possible and have the look all the cuts that have been made. And now that you mentioned the accident of Metrolink in Chatsworth, can you investigate also Veolia, one of the responsible for running a lot of buses and the trains? Because Veolia is the one that hires the person that was guilty of the accident, you know, the conductor, the engineer on the Metrolink. But Veolia doesn't hire the good people, the intelligent people, so they can be out there working. I can tell you that because I know about Veolia a lot.
Thank you very much. Arnold Sachs, and then we'll take up item 25 because there's a conflict situation, and Mr. Boyce will participate in that. I am conflicted out. Arnold Sachs? I just said Diane Du Bois is on the phone. Yeah.
She said she was on the phone.
I'm here.
I know you are. I said it. I said it, and right after that, Mr. Katz has announced that she's on the phone.
I just wanted to hear her voice.
Ah, you're so kind,
Mr. Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning, Arnold Sachs. Let me understand this. The gentleman is explaining about tax credits that were going to expire December 31st. Today's the 15th. I believe city councils and government bodies will be on vacation for Christmas. Why are you bringing this item up on December 15th? Did this expiration date just kind of like pop up? That you wait 2 weeks before, oh, by the way, this will be expiring. Shouldn't the public be aware of this somewhere before? I know. It's under control because Metro Board has got it. National leaders, if people really knew, if the LA Times was a halfway decent newspaper instead of something you'd use to line a bottom of a birdcage, and they told the truth, you'd be portrayed as a national disgrace for the way you've manipulated and misused funds and public.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Antonovich, item 25.
I'm on.
Item
25. Okay, thank you.
Item 25, do you have any speakers? You
need to move it. You need to move it. You just need to vote.
Which?
Oh, it's good. It's
vote. Oh, you vote on 53? Okay, call the roll.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Wezar?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Yaroslavsky?
Yes.
Director Du Bois?
Yes.
Director Antonovich?
Yes.
Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Ridley Thomas? Director Kanabe?
Yes.
Director Wilson?
Yes.
Director Molina? The item's approved.
Okay, so ordered. We will do 32 now?
25.
Five? And that's, okay, he gave me the wrong information. After 25. 25.
Item 25. Good morning, directors. We're very pleased today to be here to recommend a short list of
of teams to undertake a proposal for the Union Station Master Plan. Cal Hollis, who's with the Planning Department with me, will describe the actions we're proposing.
Mr. Chair, we have two actions before you. One is to approve the recommended shortlist. The second is to approve a stipend agreement with each of the proposers for the purposes of preparing vision boards for this project.
Let me just say for the record, I have a conflict, so I'm turning the chairmanship over to Richard Katz.
Please continue, Cal.
Mr. Chair, we're prepared to answer questions of the board at this time.
Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Hollis, can you tell us, the benefit of us paying a stipend versus not paying one?
Yes, sir. Part of the response to this proposal will be the preparation of vision boards, which will inform the community as to what the opportunities are for Union Station. It is customary in design competitions and similar exercises to provide us a stipend to those participating. We want it to be clear that when these vision boards are completed, they are a completed product of the MTA. The MTA will have control of those boards and will have ownership of those boards, and so it is appropriate to pay a stipend to those who have prepared that work on behalf of the MTA.
So in the event if the MTA decided to not pick one of the proposers and we chose to use some of the ideas that they developed, we could use those ideas without having to pay a fee or a royalty or a licensing fee for those ideas?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I noticed that LA Business Council is doing something with students, and they're paying a $5,000 fee for the students in their competition for the same reasons also, and to help out on that. Mr. Najarian.
Thank you. Yes, the $10,000 stipend did raise some eyebrows. However, I just want to make absolutely certain that all creative ideas, intellectual property, et cetera, that is submitted and included in those does become our property, and that there's later no claim that, hey, that looks like the board I submitted to MTA. All you gave me was a lousy $10,000, but you know now you've built this other project down. Just so all the applicants are clear and that the legal releases and waivers are absolutely tight. I mean, I would support it if we're absolutely certain and have our legal team give us assurances that that is our property. And, you know, thank you very much. If you're the winning proposal, great. If you're not, you know, that's ours now. Wipe that off your list of ownership rights.
Yes, sir. Each of the entities will be required to enter into a stipend contract, and that will be spelled out in those contracts.
All right. Other questions?
I have a question.
Diane?
Yeah. As I look through this, I see there is some transit experience on each of the members of the short list. I think we have to keep in mind that this is a transit project, ultimately, primarily not an opportunity to plan a whole new entity without considering the transit needs as the base for it. And I just want to make that clear that first is the transportation issue and then is the planning issue, I believe.
Martha, do you want to, or Cal?
Yep. Director, thank you for that. That is absolutely clear, and that is spelled out clearly in the RFP that the firms will be responding to. It was also in the qualifications package that they responded to.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Public comment, Arnold Sachs, followed by Dr. Williams. Actually, let me take Dr. Williams. Why don't you come on up while Arnold's coming down?
Takes him a little time.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, former employee of Parsons, but I'm not conflicted. I helped build Red Line Phase 1 here. Then we got this monstrosity that we're occupying right now. That was a few years ago. Can we get something involved in this where we do not repeat the same destruction of the unions, the original Union Station concept? Yeah, transit is the key. However, bus transit, needs to be incorporated specifically, rail transit specifically, and how about the California high-speed rail? Maybe it should be here too, but underground, so that it does not do what this building did to the original Union Station. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Yeah, I wouldn't build that. I wouldn't build that route for the high-speed train real quick. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. My point, somebody mentioned payment of a stipend versus non-payment of a stipend. It kind of reminded me of the city council hearing regarding the L.A. Live, the new football stadium, where they were talking about a binding MOU versus a non-binding MOU. And that's what we got is non-binding MOU. But the high-speed rail actually is the key here, because that's a component of the transit orientation part of this project. But the high-speed rail is going to be $93 billion. So who says it's going to be built? Well, you know, we, which Metro is so well adapted doing, we'll consider the high-speed rail. But we're going to actually build this because development is where the money's at. And you know the first rule of Metro? Get the money first. Get the money first. The second rule of Metro? Get the money first. And the third rule of Metro? If you don't know what you're doing, remember the first two rules. So you can go along and say all you want, but the key here is the high-speed rail and the fact that it will not be built because of the cost will be too exorbitant. But we tried to include the transit orientation part for the project.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Any further question or debate? Let me just say, I think the first rule in this RFP was, or this RFQ was to preserve the iconic nature of Union Station and the surrounding and design to be complementary to that with the orientation on transit, bus, rail, et cetera, for this to be the hub it should be and is today and will be in the future. I need any motion?
Move it.
Motion and a second. Any objection to all members present being recorded as I votes? Such not such will be the order. Thank you very much.
Okay, item 32.
Mr. Katz.
Mr. Chairman, please. On the last item, do we need a roll call because Diane is on the phone, or can Diane just say yes from where she is? I asked without objection. She did not object. So we okay? All right. Thank you very much.
I'll move item 32.
Second.
Okay, we have motion to second. Any public comment on 32? John Walsh, Dr. Williams, followed by Arnold Sachs.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. This concerns the Crenshaw line. This is the line where the racist MTA is trying to take a stop away from traditional Leimert Park area. And what we're talking about here is part of a gigantic racist policy. That's where I disagree with the Bus Riders Union, who suddenly 2 years ago stopped seeing racism when Connie Rice cracked down on them for using the word racist and embarrassing the mayor. So you're not going to hear the word racist from them. You'll hear it from Clint and a few of us about what's happening here. And this, incidentally, the railway company, Burlington, all of this is in fact an end run around real estate. Remember, this is all about race and real estate. That's all it's about. Not corruption, race and real estate. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. Mr. Williams.
I was worried when this is off my
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're on.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. Strong interest in BNSF. And We had a workshop here in Metro a couple weeks ago, and one of the issues was BNSF and its operations within the overall area. How does this Crenshaw reduction of their rail operations and the opportunities that might provide in the future affect the development of the Port of L.A.? Because BNSF is connected. Alameda Corridor is connected. Right now, one group says that it's the trucks that are causing problems in the port as far as rail is concerned. Another group says, no, it's the Metrolink and its conflicts with the BNSF freight operations. Thank you.
He's quiet.
Arnold Sachs is coming. We do have a motion and a second.
Again, thank you. Arnold Sachs. Again, you're taking action. The Crenshaw segment of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe rail line. So you've already done the EIR reports for the Crenshaw line to the aviation station, which would have included the trains running from Burlington Northern. You authorized two EIR reports for the Green Line, which would include the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad segment. And why are you stopping on the Crenshaw line? Why don't you continue all the way down through the harbor section of the line, like the part that the Green Line is going to run through in Torrance? That's going to come back at a later date, somewhere in the near next millennium? Why would you authorize the EIR reports and then ask for the elimination of the rail line operation? Why not authorize the elimination of the rail line and then do the EIR reports? Ask backwards, our motto.
Okay, we have a motion by Richard Katz. Is there a second?
Question.
Mr. Chair. Jerrion.
I see that we're paying $4.5 million for this right-of-way and that it is entirely subject then to the STB approving the release. Is there any risk that STB would not approve that, and are there any reservations that should it not be approved that we would get whatever monies we had paid to BNSF back because of the non-approval?
None to our knowledge. Maybe Mr. Charles Safer, who his group has been involved in all the agreements and negotiations. So we don't see that as an issue. Charles, you have any comments on that?
No, that's not an issue.
So it's pretty much just a routine, a ministerial approval of the release of the right-of-way. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Any objection? Any objection, Diane?
No objection.
Without objection, so ordered. Item 42. Am I conflicted on 42?
No.
Item 42.
Good morning, directors. Item 42 requests your approval to award a 10-year task order contract to engineering management services team in an amount not to exceed $8 million. This is for a $42 million capital project. It's a renovation program for this building. It was approved in the FY12 budget. It's an eight-year project.
I'll move approval.
The motion is second. We have two speakers, Arnold Sachs. He's walking up, Mr. Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. This seems strange. I had 30, 40 years of engineering experience, and $8 million to project manage a $43 million project seems kind of strange, especially when almost half of the total value will go to other subcontractors of the prime contractor. So I would highly recommend that you start auditing the whole process right now rather than waiting until the mess is cleaned up in 10 years? 10 years? That seems like a lot of opportunity for change orders and such for a $43 million job, over $8 million to project manage it. What are they doing? Thank you.
This is for 42.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. I believe the $8 million is in addition to the $42 million for the project. It's not part of the $42 million project. But consider yourselves lucky, because this could be LAX, where they're paying like $125 million to manage the expansion at LAX for that $8 billion, $3 billion, $2 billion, $5 billion. Pick a number from $1 to $10 billion, and you might get lucky. It's an eight-year project, but you're hiring a firm for 10 years. So does that include, I don't know, 2 years extra? You're going to amend this item somewhere down the highway to fill in the blanks for the extra 2 years, which will raise the cost to over $50 or $60 billion dollars? I know. Get the money first. That's the motto here. By the way, this project will be completed in 8 years. Is there a guarantee on this? Or within the 10 years of the management firm, is there a guarantee on that? No.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any objection? So ordered. I'm going to take up item 58. That's a motion by supervisor, by myself, with Kanabe Najarian directing the MTA's inspector general to return to the board by March 2012. We have, as you know, three independent construction authorities that are charged with construction of Measure R funds, transportation projects. And they include the Gold Line, the Expo Line, the Alameda Corridor East Construction Authority. Recent reports of excessive compensation and frivolous discretionary expenses for travel, lodging are concerning to the project and to the community and the taxpayers. It's imperative that we stay on top of these authorities to ensure that their policies are spending scarce regional transportation funds building their projects and not building up empires. So the motion seeks to gather the necessary information from the three authorities so that the board can be informed as to what policies and expenditures do and don't take place at these authorities. So we have Dr. Williams, I'm going to call up Arnold Sachs.
Need a motion?
And then we have a motion and a
move
second.
It.
And Mr. Williams?
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. Building up empires. We've already done a PRA request for Gold Line. Why? Because there's something smelling about it. We have the same problem in the city of Los Angeles called HECLA. When there's big money around and you only have an acting inspector general, maybe the inspector general will act like an inspector general. I don't know. But there does seem to be, when there's lots of money, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So I'd highly recommend that, number one, get an inspector general, a real one, that would control the audits, that would assist in watching where our money is going and what we get for it rather than what administrators get for it. Thank you.
Sachs.
Arnold Sachs, thank you. you're concerned about excessive compensation, the spending of money. It boggles the mind. You're so insulting to anybody's common sense, it's ridiculous. I've come before this board 10 million times, county meetings, city hall meetings, requesting how the hell the Blue Line Construction Authority became the Gold Line Construction Authority. You gave me a letter that it was modified state law. You're concerned about funding being spent. So please tell me, how the freaking hell the Blue Line, the Los Angeles to Pasadena Blue Line Construction Authority, ended up with a lien document in the county register's office owning property on a metro right-of-way for the Gold Line? How the fuck did that happen? Excuse my friend, but that's
order for your language, and you're not going to be allowed to speak anymore today for that type of behavior.
That's good. I'm glad.
Guard two. Okay, we have motion second without objection. So ordered. Next item, we will move forward. If you continue that, we're going to ask you to leave the meeting. I'm going to tell you one more time. You speak out, you're going to be asked to leave. Please escort that gentleman out. Okay, item number 42. We've gone 56 is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the legislation that was introduced by a good friend of mine, I think his name is Richard Katz.
Blame me again.
Number of years ago, to actually put together two outstanding organizations, the RTD Board and the L.A. County Transportation Commission. And as a part of that, there was a provision to appoint members of the public who represent various parts of the community to sit as an advisory council member to the MTA board. And so I'm pleased today to introduce to you a gentleman who has had a lot of experience. He's a member of the county right now. I believe he's employed by the county fire department. And his wife is here with him. He has served on the Access Transit Advisory Board for a number of years. So I'd like to introduce all of you to Michael Conrad. Michael, would you address the body? And Nettie, can you get the microphone to his – he's kind of tall.
One second. We're going to get the microphone for you.
Okay. Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to introduce my lovely wife, Belinda, so everybody knows who she is. I would like to thank you for considering my appointment to the Citizens Advisory Council. I consider it a great privilege, and I will definitely try to bring in quality input to the council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. And
very
Melinda,
much.
Would you like to say anything?
Hold on. I'm going to get the microphone for you. Just hold on, ma'am. It's a little tricky here. There you go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Belinda, and I would I'm just really excited about this because we need somebody like this. My husband is willing to help anybody he can as far as this goes in with the transportation, with the access services. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So we have a motion moved, seconded by Supervisor John Fasano, Director John Fasano.
We actually have two appointees, so that's the first, and we can do them all as one to save time. The next appointee is a member of the community, business community, and very active in the communities of South Los Angeles, Leimert Park, Baldwin Hills, Crenshaw District, View Park. Her name is Sherry Bailey, and Sherry has had a lot of experience in working with community groups in the business arena as well as community arena. She's been very active with the Consolidated Board of Realtors, along with a number of other community active groups in the area. Sherry?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you, MTA Board. Thank you for considering me for the Advisory Council. I've been working in the local community and living in the community for the last 20 years. I'm very involved, and I'd be honored to be a participant in this MTA Board on the Advisory Council, and thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
We also had one speaker, Jared Wright. Mr. Wright.
Good morning. Happy holidays to you all. Gerard Wright,
Vice Chair of the Citizens Advisory Council. We welcome Ms. Bailey to the council, but I just want to make this as a good little one-minute plug to remind all the directors that you have the autonomy to elect or endorse four members, or some have already done so with Director Fasana and some of the rest, to appoint members to the Citizens Advisory Council. It is, we're really pushing and becoming more active within the metro community and being for outreach and other such measures. So you have that option open to everyone here, all the directors. You have appointers, and I'm glad Mr. Wilson has taken the leadership role on that to have Ms. Bailey here. But just a reminder, you are autonomous of this. You do not need to put this to a vote. A simple right. letter could do for the future. So thank you again. And happy holidays.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion. So, Mr. Fasana.
I just want to say, just from a precedent standpoint, I think it's great to see the members who will be serving us, but I agree with Mr. Wright that we each have the autonomy to make the appointments. They do not require board approval.
Okay, without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, colleagues.
What item are we on now?
Mr. Chair, are we waiting for another item to come up?
We're searching for the item.
Okay, while we're doing that, I'd just like to acknowledge that I have a group of folks who've been dedicating a number of years of their lives to the community in the profession of real estate. I would like to ask all of those who are realtors or realtors, if you would just stand for a moment or a second, please. All those in the audience who are a realtor or realtors, please stand. Thank you very much.
Item 59.
Mr. Chair, members, we'd like to make a presentation to the board on very serious issues that have arisen as a consequence of a recent FTA Title VI audit of our work here at the MTA. I should note that last spring in May, the board approved the creation of a civil rights compliant office reporting to in the CEO's office, and the creation of a civil rights compliance officer position. That position was filled in September. We are fortunate Dan Levy is here. He is our new civil rights officer. Those actions were unrelated to the audit finding, but they put us in a position to respond more promptly and thoroughly. There are serious findings of problems of noncompliance with some of the Title VI rules. We have committed to the FTA to achieve full compliance and the resolution of all issues of noncompliance on an as soon as possible basis. We expect that the bulk of the issues will be resolved in the period of March to June of next year. We expect a few issues having to do with language proficiency will take a little bit longer. Dan will go into that. In addition to the requirements of the FTA in complying with the rules, we will have additional. We will take additional actions. Specifically, we will initiate training, thorough training and compliance for MTA staff who work in such areas, as well as consultants where appropriate. We will, of course, evaluate our past practices and take corrective actions as necessary. We will keep the board posted on our progress as we advance, and of course, we will continue to work very closely with the FTA. I'm pleased to say that the FTA has been supportive and in concurrence, at least thus far, with the initial steps that we are taking. So we look forward to staying on a prompt schedule to address these concerns. With that, Mr. Levy is here to make a presentation, if the board would so like.
Good morning. The presentation I have today is really about the corrective action plan, which is our response to the FTA compliance review. The review was conducted by the FTA looked at the how we comply with the civil rights regulations and guidance that they produce. The purpose of the review was also to provide some technical assistance in helping Metro understand what is being required. It was not an investigation into any civil rights violations, and it's part of a process that takes place across the nation, and the same type of review has been held at other agencies, and similar types of findings, some more severe, some less severe. The Civil Rights Act itself is the basis for this area, and it provides for protects discrimination against race, color, and national origin. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act calls out the issue of disparate impact, and it's what relates to providing transit service and fare decisions. And just so you know, disparate impact is discrimination resulting from a policy that is basically racial neutral. It's unintentional discrimination. The issue with the compliance review, they found that in five of the 12 areas that they looked at, there were deficiencies. Some of them were relatively minor. We've actually corrected them already. Others will take more time to correct. So the five areas were the notice to beneficiaries, limited English proficiency, service standards and policies, service and fare equity, and service monitoring. To comply, we need to improve the policies and procedures of the agency, not to change the service on the road or the fares. Just in order to comply, we need to improve our policies and procedures, not change the services and fares. So the compliance review looked at how we complied with the regulations, and some of our processes and procedures and policies did not comply, so we need to correct those.
Well, I'm not understanding you, because you just said that they found deficiencies in service standards and policies, service and fare equity, and service monitoring, but you're saying that in order to comply, we don't need to improve service, when service was raised in three of the five areas where we were cited with deficiencies.
Well, I'll explain as we go along.
Okay.
And if I don't answer it, I'll come back.
Mr. Chair, I think that what you'll see from this is there's analytical work that needs to be done to determine whether or not there was a disparate impact. And if there is, we need to address that issue. And those are the sorts of issues that we need to confront here. That will involve coming back to the board over the next 6 to 7 months to resolve these issues. That may or may not imply changes to fares or service levels, but that will be a product of the analysis, which is not yet undertaken.
Okay,
that's right.
But that is different from what you said. You said to comply, in fact, your bullet point says to comply, we need to improve policies and procedures, not change service and fares. You're saying that it's possible that we may have to address service and fares as a result.
If we go out, if we find a disparate impact, we then have to decide what to do about that.
Okay. Wait, excuse me. Hold it. Please. I asked the question. I got to it. Do you want to continue?
Yeah. So the first item where there is deficiency is something called notice to beneficiaries. The regulations require us to post notices to the public about their rights under Title VI. We have those posted around the system, but the deficiency, the FTA found that we did not identify on that notice exactly how to file complaints. And the FTA also pointed out that we needed to provide the information in alternative languages.
Now, let me ask you, because I think they mentioned something about 90 languages are spoken. I thought there was like 200 languages spoken in the region, but they focused on 90. Was that the number?
Well, I'll get to the next area, which is our limited English.
Because I was going to ask, one of the things I think we need to look at is just having international signage that you don't need to speak any language to be able to identify. That to me would seem to be the best way to address the fact that we speak so many languages and some people can't read any language.
Yes, in fact, one of these slides does say that that's what we'll be moving towards.
Okay.
So the new notice has actually been prepared, and that's a sample of it. And we have it in 10 languages. This will be a temporary notice until the end of next year, when we will produce the same notice in multiple languages. and this will be put up in vehicles and stations. On the issue of limited English proficiency, we have a requirement from the federal government to provide language assistance to those who cannot speak English well or very well, as determined in the census. Specifically, the FTA called out that our four-factor analysis needed to be improved. The four-factor analysis is where we look at what languages are being spoken in the region, and indeed, you're correct, there are about 90 languages that meet the threshold required by the set by the FTA. So we also need to prepare a language assistance plan that will outline exactly how we're going to address those issues, and then we'll implement it and monitor it. The four-factor analysis does take a lot of work, and so we're looking at having that completed by the end of the year. And here's where you see that one of the likely impacts is there's going to be more services and communications available in alternative languages, and indeed, you're correct, there will be greater use made of pictograms on signs. In addition, there'll be staff training on how to handle customers who need help when they don't speak English. Service standards and policy. What the requirement of the FTA is that we have board-approved standards for all modes in five specific service areas and two policies that we need to have. What they found in their review was that our existing service standards didn't apply to all modes, and in some areas, such as having a policy on how amenities are provided, there were no standards. In addition, we didn't have a policy on vehicle assignment, which is deciding which buses get assigned to which division, and we didn't have a formal board policy on security. The action that you took earlier today on the consent agenda will create the service standards and vehicle assignment policy, so that's another one of the deficiencies that's being rectified. A security policy is going to be brought to you in January, and that will actually just require you to approve a policy that's already in effect in our contract with the sheriff. Service and fair equity was one of the major areas of the review. The FTA guidance regulations require the board to approve a definition of a major service change and then to conduct an analysis of major service changes that meet that threshold and all fare changes. In terms of the deficiencies, the auditors, the reviewers found that we do not have a major service change policy that meets the requirement of Title VI. And for 2011 service changes, the analysis methodology was incomplete, and the board did not make the necessary findings because the report did highlight that there were disparate impacts. Related to that, you may have known that on December 11th there was a service change scheduled, and that was suspended. And the reason for that was that some of those changes that were involved in that shakeup would meet a major service change definition, even though we don't have one, because entire routes were changed. And there is a requirement to do an equity analysis, and so that will be done, and it will be brought back to you in February so that service change could proceed. In terms of the fare change deficiencies, the analysis was done in 2007 on the fare changes that were proposed, but the actual fare changes that were implemented in 2010 were not exactly the same as the ones that were analyzed in the equity analysis. You actually did not increase some of the fares that you originally proposed. So the problem was not with the fare changes themselves. The problem here was that the equity analysis did not get updated. Also, there has not been analysis done on some of the recent changes, including reducing the price of the day pass. The federal government wants us to analyze whether services increased or decreased and whether fares are increased and decreased. And so we need to look at those.
So let me stop you for a second. So in addition to cuts in service, even when we reduce the cost of a pass as an example, we have to analyze the disparate impact of a decision like that, because it not because of the cut itself, but because of the impact it could have on service. More people will use the lines because we've lowered the cost of the pass.
Well, Title VI is about discrimination, and Title VI is about unintentional discrimination. So lowering the pass price might benefit only a small group as opposed to a larger group. So from the federal government standpoint, we need to analyze any change to make sure that no one group is being discriminated against.
All right.
So let's say hypothetically.
On service monitoring, there is a requirement in the guidance that we compare minority and non-minority areas in terms of the service being provided. The current guidance gives the transit agency three different options for how that monitoring is conducted. Metro chose to use surveys, and that is an attitude and awareness survey, a questionnaire that's handed out to passengers. And that found that there were different attitudes among minority and non-minority users, but the FTA pointed out that we didn't identify any means to try and rectify those differences. So next year we'll be embarking on a communications campaign to help riders better understand the services that we're providing. And in the future going forward, we're going to switch to a quantitative monitoring program. So now that we have service standards, we'll be able to compare how service standards are being applied and complied with by the type of route, whether or not it's minority or not minority. And these other actions, Art has already mentioned, just to review them quickly, we're going to strengthen, clarify responsibility for civil rights. We're going to have
By the way, let me correct the language. When you say minority, you're talking about protected groups under Title VII. They might actually be the majority.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
but again, the way that Title VI asks us to define that, in terms of bus service, as an example, where probably 90% of our riders are minority, any service where 90% or more are minority would be considered a minority bus route. But a bus route that only had 89% minority or 85% minority riders would not be considered minority. So they're looking at the average and above as being minority. Again, increased training for staff and consultants, reviewing performance of staff and consultants involved in civil rights work. And again, as Art mentioned, we're working closely with the FTA. We certainly have a positive relationship with them. And over the next 12 months, that is going to be a very close relationship. So all of our operational planning activities are going to be closely monitored, and anything that does deal with civil rights will require FTA approval before we bring it to you at the board. And with that, I'd be happy to take any other questions.
Ms. Fasano?
You know, just I want to see updates on what we're doing to really institute the improved procedures and address the service that we need to be providing.
Yeah, and I believe I have a motion to direct that the MTA board direct the CEO to comply and adhere to all general reporting and program specific requirements in accordance with FTA Circular 4702.1A. Two, complete and submit a corrective action plan that complies with all FTA Title VI compliance audit findings and requirements no later than April 2012 MTA board cycle. Three, ensure all executive staff and consultants responsible for Title VI compliance receive additional training, including but not limited to reviewing all current FTA Title VI standards, directives, and procedures. Participating in and or attending official FTA Title VI training sessions and participating in FTA-sponsored Title VI technical assistance webinars. Now, I understand that we've contracted with you, sir.
I'm an employee.
Oh, we're now an employee.
He's an employee, yes, sir.
I've been here about 2 months.
He's a civil rights compliance officer.
Provide a monthly, and then finally provide a monthly status report on the corrective action plan and training to the executive management committee.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Fasana. And we are there questions? We have a number of speakers, beginning with Isaac Dalso, Mr. Dalso, and then Joshua Clinton. Mr. Dalso?
May I begin?
Yes, you may. I'm sorry.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Isaac Dalto, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and also of Unite Here Local 11. I work a low-wage job as a cook at Loyola Marymount University. I live in Inglewood, and like most of my union brothers and sisters, I rely on the number 115 Metro bus to get to and from work. I spend a total of over 4 hours on the bus every day. This is because the 715 Rapid Bus, which used to run on Manchester, was discontinued when the MTA slashed service hours. What struck me most about the results of the FTA investigation was that the MTA's own research had found that these cuts would be disproportionately affecting low-income communities and people of color, and you went ahead with them anyway. So this was clearly not, therefore, unintentional discrimination resulting in disparate impact. If I was being charitable, I would say that this was at best callously negligent and at worst a racist, criminal, premeditated assault on our class. The only reasonable remedy, indeed the only morally sound remedy, the complete and immediate restoration of the
service hours. Thank you. You have a microphone. You don't need to scream. Thank you very much. Joshua Clayton. Mr. Clayton.
Yes, hello. Well, I'm not going to say much. At least you're taking action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jesus. It's in pencil. It's either Eric Roman or Romano.
Roman.
It's not my penmanship. Eric Roman with the Bus Riders
Union.
That's
my eyesight. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for your on-point questions. The last speaker was also totally on point. We urge the board not to let the staff and your PR spin whitewash this report. The report finds that this agency knowingly went ahead with bus service cuts from 2010 to the present, even though those bus service cuts were acknowledged in MTA's own documents to be discriminatory. This report is a damning finding. It's more far-reaching than any previous report that's been put out by the FTA in a decade. One of the leading attorneys on civil rights and transportation in the country said that if the BART case, if you compare this to the BART case where $70 million in federal funding was pulled, this is BART times 10. We urge this board to look very carefully, and we demand that the only appropriate corrective action would be full restoration of the cuts that this agency knowingly implemented knowing that they were racially discriminatory. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ms. Crystal McMillan, and then Sun Yang Yang. And I think Sun Yang Yang's still here.
Crystal was walking.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know. I just didn't see you back there.
It's tiny.
How are you, ma'am?
Hello. My name is Crystal McMillan. I'm a bus rider and a member of the Bus Riders Union. And I've read and heard the statements from this agency in response to the FTA's findings of racial discrimination. And your attempts to trivialize these findings betrays the public trust and the 500,000 riders of this county who use transit. It is critical that any discussion of corrective measures must have public input. If you truly intend to address the core issues, then you must reverse the service cuts to continue to cause hardships for riders like me. We continue to need strong leadership from this board. Mr. Mayor, Supervisor Ridley Thomas, you sit here as a result of civil rights. How can you not make it a priority for this agency? These service cuts are standing directly between the transit-dependent and economic recovery. Step beyond the legalities of the issue and provide quality bus service by reversing the service cuts. Thank you.
Sun Yang Yang and Barbara Lott Holland.
Good morning, MTA Board. I specifically want to address that the staff has misguided this board many a times, both during the consent decree days and during the negotiations. This civil rights corrective action plan that the staff has turned in has never gone through a public oversight process. Neither has the board really thoroughly looked at it. There are many errors in here, but not only that, it does not address the key essential remedy after this agency has been found to admit that there is racial discrimination and still proceeded with the cuts. This corrective action plan cannot be accepted by this board. You all learned lessons. Director Gloria Molina, you raised it many a time saying, holding the staff accountable of the misguiding that they did. This cannot go forward today. You need to have a public oversight process, and this board has to thoroughly look through, because there are entire things that are just mistakes, and it does not include restoring bus service hours, the essential remedy for your discriminatory impacts. Thank you.
Thank you. Rosa Miranda. Ms. Miranda.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del Sindicato de Pasajeros.
Good morning. My name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Esta mañana me dirijo al concejal José Huizar.
So I'd like to address council member José Huizar.
Concejal José Huizar, le pedimos que rechace el plan de acción de correctivo.
Councilmember Huizar, we ask that you reject the corrective action plan before you.
Y que habrá un proceso de vigilancia comunitaria en el cual incluya a la gente dañada.
And we ask you to open up a community oversight process that actually includes the people that have been harmed by the discriminatory policies you implemented.
Por las pólizas en el proceso de influir que serán los remedios de violaciones de los derechos civiles.
We believe that the people that have been harmed should be the ones to put forth what the remedies are.
Concejal José Huizar, su comunidad ha sido una de las más impactadas.
Councilmember, we said the people in your district have been some of the bus riders that have been most impacted.
Mi pregunta para usted, ¿qué va a hacer usted esta mañana?
And my question to you is, what are you willing to do today?
Para proteger a la gente que votó por usted.
To protect the people who voted for you.
Exigimos totalmente a esta mesa que rechacen el plan y que abran un proceso público que incluya un proceso para que podamos nosotros incluir y también influir en el contenido del plan el día de hoy.
So lastly, we ask this board to reject the corrective action plan and to open up a community review process that includes our insight onto what the remedy should be. Thank you.
Gracias.
Barbara Lott Holland.
She's not here.
And Esperanza Martinez is here.
I am. Yes, good morning. I'd like to actually submit a letter to the board. And this is a letter that we submitted to the Federal Transit Administration marking our objection to the service standards that you approved on item 45. We just want to bring home the point that this agency's staff misguided you time and time again. We held a hunger fast for 8 days asking this board to open up a public process, asking you to look at the staff, to urge the staff to produce an equity analysis because the 2007 was out of date. And what happens? The report that the federal government gave you actually marks that equity was out of date, that equity analysis was out of date. Your staff moved forward saying that there was no racial discrimination when in actuality there was. You didn't pass a 3-prong test that the federal government requires you to do. We urge this board to reject the corrective action plan and to reinstate the 1 million hours.
Thank you, Esperanza. Christian Eck. Christian Eck, Nancy Lawrence, Ms. Lawrence,
I come here as a bus rider, but I also come here as an activist that's concerned about climate change and social justice. In the 60s and 70s, we had a saying, think globally, act locally. But the 1% represents racism and classism. By cutting back our buses, the 1% commits ecocide. The developed nations and Durban, South Africa, like the U.S., gave us climate apartheid. What are we going to do about this? We have to act now. We had to return our bus service. We had to have our $42 monthly bus pass, and then we got to lower it, and we got to lower it again. We got to get people on the buses as a start to cool our planet down. And I'll say one more thing. This is very racist. This is very classist, which is being done to the people who use the buses.
Thank you.
And the elephant in the room is capitalism.
Dr. Tom Williams, and then Lawrence Lancaster.
Dr. Tom Williams, I came to MTA on the bus, bus 78, lovely service. However, it's really discriminatory service because we have bus 256 also. We tried one year. We were notified it's going to be canceled. We said, why? Well, poor ridership. Well, that one failed. Next one, low productivity. We asked, what is productivity? We could not get an answer, no term. Bus 256, low productivity because there's too many seniors, too many children that use it. It's the only line there. Oh, this is not just for buses. How about for transit? And there's an interesting comparison as to the minority participation on the transit versus minority participation on the buses. Thank you.
Lawrence Lancaster.
Right.
So,
this is
no
problem.
This is no problem. We've already done this.
Right.
He's not here.
Adam Loving. Cowing. Some of it's my eyesight, but some of it's...
Good morning. My name is Adam Cowing, and I'm an attorney at Public Counsel Law Center. As the nation's largest non-for-profit law firm of its kind, Public Counsel serves thousands of working families, students, and veterans. Every day, our clients depend on Metro to get to their jobs, to make it to school on time, or to get to their doctor's appointments. We're troubled by the recent FTA report about the discriminatory impact of Metro's service cuts and fare increases. Most disturbing is that the FTA found that Metro approved service cuts and raised fares without looking closely at how county residents would be affected and without doing everything it could to avoid it. Government must protect its citizens from discrimination. Yet by failing to properly analyze how its policies, including service cuts, disproportionately affect low-income people and people of color, Metro has failed in this core obligation. This failure has resulted in major barriers to economic survival for Metro's core riders, decreasing access to jobs, education, and health care. We urge that the Metro Board take seriously the FTA compliance review, which found Metro to be deficient in 5 of the 12 Title VI requirements. We call upon the Board to ensure a rigorous analysis.
Thank you. John Walsh. Mr. Walsh. And then Daryl Molina.
John Walsh blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. This is an all-white jury, okay? Remember that from the old civil rights days when I was around? Read what Mr. Levy writes here. To comply, we need not...
Can you speak to the microphone? Thank you.
We need not... So you've already decided. Mr. Levy, are you a black man? Mr. Levy, are you a minority?
Excuse me, you'll direct your comments...
You want to direct
your comments
him?
To the board, not to him.
Not to him?
Direct your comments to the board.
Is he a minority? That's like the gay rights people having a heterosexual. This man, who is he? You don't know who he is. He's a Jew like me, and he is a disgrace to all Jews.
All right, come on.
I'm telling you, he has told you, you got your marching orders. He has told you, don't change service or fares. And he sits there, and how much does he make? You are a... I'm telling you, you are a racist, Mr. Mayor. Now run out of this room. HollywoodHighlands.org. Racist. Civil rights...
Right, you need to quit.
And there is no similarity between Mr. Levy and you, Mr. Walsh.
That's for sure.
That's right.
Daryl Molina, you need to quit, Mr. Walsh, with your...
You addressed me. The board addressed me.
Daryl Molina...
Okay.
Daryl Molina.
Hard to follow that. Okay. Good morning. My name is Daryl Molina Sarmiento. I'm with Communities for a Better Environment. We are a statewide environmental justice organization. We have our offices in Northern California, working in Richmond and Oakland, and we also work here in Southern California, specifically in Southeast Los Angeles, the cities of Huntington Park and Southgate, and also in the community of Wilmington. And so we're here today in solidarity with the Bus Riders Union to really express our outrage at this board. I think you really need to take this seriously, that the federal government is finding this board guilty, this agency guilty, of violating civil rights of people in Los Angeles. You really need to take the responsibility sitting in these chairs up here in front of all these people, in front of the public, to know that you need to take people's opinions, the people most impacted by your cuts, into consideration. We demand public comment period and a public hearing where people can actually review your plan that you're trying to put in place.
Jose Estrada and
Buenos días, good morning, everybody. Yo soy José Estrada, vengo del sur centro de Los Ángeles, representando en esta oportunidad a la Asociación de Comunidades Unidas del sur centro de Los Ángeles.
Good morning. My name is José Estrada, and I'm here from South Central representing my community.
Vengo a hacer sentir el problema que tenemos nosotros con los recortes de las rutas y las horas de servicio de transporte en nuestras comunidades.
I'm here to try to give you a sense of the impact of service cuts and routes in my community.
Sabemos que se ha estado discutiendo el problema de la falta del transporte.
We know that the lack of transportation has been an ongoing conversation.
Y es importante que se tome en cuenta las comunidades para poder resolver de una mejor manera cómo dar un mejor servicio.
And I think that communities need to be taken into account. Their needs need to be taken into account when you actually think about how you're going to improve service.
Y nuestra propuesta, apoyando la propuesta del sindicato de pasajeros, es que tengamos una audiencia en donde se tome nuestra palabra y de nuestras necesidades.
And our proposal is, supporting that of the Bus Riders Union, is that you open up a public process where our words and our thoughts are actually taken into account.
Porque consideramos que solo escuchando las comunidades vamos a verdaderamente saber dónde están los problemas, dónde están las necesidades.
Because it's through listening to the community that you'll get a better sense of where the problems and where the needs are.
Muchas gracias por la oportunidad que nos dan y tómenos en cuenta.
Thank you for the opportunity and please take us into account. Thank you.
Sissy Trink. Sissy Trink. Felipe Villarreal. Felipe Villarreal. I think we need translation. Yeah, okay.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Felipe Villarreal y soy carguachero.
Good morning, my name is Felipe Villarreal and I'm a car wash worker.
Estoy representando la campaña Clean Car Wash y hablando a nombre de mis compañeros trabajadores en común y toda la comunidad.
And I'm here representing the Clean Car Wash campaign and representing my fellow coworkers.
Vengo a pedirles aquí el apoyo de todos los concejales y usted, señor presidente, porque tenemos un gran problema con el recorte de autobuses.
And so I'm here to ask for the support of all of the council members and you, Chair Villaraigosa.
Tenemos muchos problemas con el costo del pasaje, el recorte de horas, tenemos que estar mucho tiempo esperando los autobuses, ahora como está el mal tiempo.
And, you know, we have been suffering the impacts of the cuts. Also, we've been impacted by the fare increases and we have to wait long hours for a bus.
En nuestro tipo de negocio, el tiempo ahora es muy malo, tenemos muy poca clientela en los negocios, muy pocas horas de ganancia.
And so, as many of you know, the line of work that I do has been greatly impacted by the downturn in the economy. We have very few clients, which means that we have few hours, which means that we have less money.
Hay muchos compañeros que solo trabajan por propinas y es más difícil estar pagando los altos costos de los pases y al mismo tiempo tener que perder mucho tiempo para esperar los autobuses.
Some of my coworkers, their only source of income are the tips that they get from washing cars. So you know that that doesn't leave a lot of money to pay the high cost of the bus pass. And on top of that, they have to wait a long time to get to a bus.
Así es de que, por favor, les pedimos el apoyo y la comprensión para toda la comunidad y nosotros los trabajadores, tomen una buena decisión.
And so we ask for your comprehension and understanding, and we ask you to support workers in the decision that you're about to make. Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you very much. Gracias. José Rodríguez.
Hello, good morning again. This is Jose Rodriguez. I'm so glad that the FDA is looking into these cuts and fare increase. And I'm hoping that the MTA really look into this and start doing something about. We need almost more than 90% of all the buses that have been cut in the last 10 years back. We really need it. Some are like 96, the 68, 333, 485, 439. Can keep on going because there's a lot of buses that we really need. Other is this, that demand of the monthly pass of $42. We really need that. But we also want to remind you that almost like 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, seniors used to pay $4, students used to pay $12, and students from college, university used to pay $25. We need that back. And also, in 2007, the MTA bus pass was good for the LADOT buses, which is Dash and Commuter Express. They were taking the MTA bus passes. They don't take that no more. We need that back too also. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Andrew Wang and Natasha Harrell. Andrew Wang. Natasha Harrell. No, I know. I see him. Natasha Harrell, are you here?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Wang's first. I apologize. We're just trying. But thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrew Wang. I'm a student at California State University, Long Beach, a geology student who also is very passionate with the environmental justice. And I'm delighted to be here today. And I take the bus as well, but just like not the MTA that often, but I do know about what's going on in terms of the service and such. And I kind of started participating with the bus riders union just like about a couple of weeks ago, and because I'm kind of new to this as well too, so I just kind of got a little of a hang of it, and I guess that's about all I can say.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wang. And Natasha Harrell.
Good morning. My name is Natasha Harrell. I'm a single mom, and I'm coming to talk to you as a mother. As a mother of five boys, I have a child who works, whose hours got cut. He used to ride the bus, but now he can only, basically, he walks home. He takes the bus when he can. I have a child who has, he is autistic. And he doesn't understand why we have to wait hours for the bus at 5. He gets up at 5:30 in the morning. We have to be on the bus at 6:15 for him to get to school by 7. And when he doesn't understand, when we wait for the buses passes up. Buses are crowded by the time he gets off to school, we have to push people off, you know, He doesn't understand why buses don't come, why the short lines and shortliners get short where we have to, like, wait twice as long. I'm urging you, please, you know, put more bus services on the lines and reduce the fare so children with autism and special needs and people with disability people can afford to ride the buses and don't have to wait ever and a day for them. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Arnold Sachs?
No.
Oh, he was. That's right. All right. Leland Shaw Jacobs? Mr. Sean Jacobs. And then Clint Simmons after Mr. Sean Jacobs.
Addressing everything like how it is to go here. Like all the buses that's been cut and everything, I think it's best that MTA would make the decision to put every last bus that they cut back in service again, because we need the transportation here to continue to function here, and that's the key issue here. And more and more I think about it, if we do this, this will help out for you guys be to have more people to work out there as well, and make the difference that way, that we put more people out to work, more people to do something, and then you can be able to have transportation, proper transportation for us.
Thank you, sir. Clint Simmons.
Good morning, Board. My name is Clint Simmons. I'm with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition and the Expo Community United. I'm here today to ask that you do pull 59 until the public have an opportunity to express their views. You will also be impressing the federal government that you are sincere about taking their recommendation into consideration. As you know, you being individuals cannot adequately address these as the public can. Until you have done that, I consider the racist board will continue the way it is. The rail system only benefits developers, contractors, and crooked politicians. In terms of the environmental justice that they did identify in construction projects, that is happening all over. As we can see from time and time again, too many engineering change orders are written on construction projects, and who benefit from that? Politicians, political campaigns, contractors, and developers. So you can help this board and yourself by letting the government know that you are sincere about giving a public comment, by pulling this thing today, and give us an opportunity to address it, and that will make a more impression than the present time of allowing the fox, as we say, guard the hen house. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak.
Kimberly Richards, and Marie Bryant. Is Marie Bryant present too?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards, current chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council. One of the people that this board... Is that better, Mr. Chairman? Thank you. Kimberly Richards, current chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council, one of the people charged with the responsibility of reviewing and deciding upon service changes for this agency. Obviously, I want my decisions to be compliant with all regulations. It's unfortunate that all this has happened. But what's also unfortunate to me sitting here in the audience is I hear the same stridency from the BRU that I heard during all the years of the consent decree. You have to do this, directors. You need to do this, directors. You need. I honestly wish I could turn back the clock and that the BRU could have, during the consent decree, built a working relationship with this agency instead of an adversarial one. Had they done so, we probably would not be in this position now, because we would have had a dialogue all along and avoided the problem. Very unfortunate, directors.
Thank you. Marie Bryant. All right, Mr. Walsh. Marie Bryant.
Good morning. My name is Marie Bryant. I am a resident of the Angeles Mesa area of Los Angeles. And my concerns specifically go to the environmental injustice or say they say environmental justice analysis of the Crenshaw, in that it has to do with the Crenshaw LAX line. I'm also a member of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. That is something that is not addressed in this report, and with hopefully in the future that the FTA will review that part of it, of the Crenshaw LAX line and the decisions that this board has made, and hopefully we can get those corrected. And I applaud this review by the FTA, I think that further analysis is due. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Jesus Hermosillo, and then someone, one named Pablo. Jesus Hermosillo and Pablo.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jesus Hermosillo, and I'm research coordinator at SAGE, Strategic Actions for a Just Economy, a membership-based organization in South LA. As you know, the South Los Angeles population is it's the lowest income community in Los Angeles County, and also heavily bus reliant. My understanding is that the FTA found that that basic Title VI analyses assessments were not carried out for several projects in the past, including rail projects and bus service cuts. We would like to strongly urge the board to ensure that these analyses will be carried out, and that they will not be, to ensure that the staff will not retroactively rubber stamp any of the projects that have been carried out already. We would like for these analyses to be carried out in good faith. And, of course, we also support bringing down the bus, the price of the bus pass to $42 and restoring the 1 million hours.
Thank you very much. Pablo?
Thank you.
Pablo? Judy Redman? Ms. Redman?
Hello. My name is Judy Redman. I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union, and I've been standing here for years, since the consent decree, speaking on behalf of the lower-income, under- or unemployed, non-English-speaking people of color, people like myself who have had their civil rights violated by the MTA. Now, my fellow bus riders knew, I knew, everyone knew the disparity in the unavailability of transportation for those who needed it most. Now the FTA and the entire country know how little civil rights mean to you. This motion that you have prepared, Mayor Villagrosa, your notion reinforces the staff's erroneous corrective action plan that leaves no remedy, and the remedy would be to restore service cuts and reverse the fare hikes. This motion does not address that. And I have also, for you and for Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who I visit both of your offices repeatedly, to bring this disparity, this racist action to your attention, and to ask you to champion cause.
Thank you very much.
Hope you do that now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes public comment on this item. I believe that Mr. Ridley Thomas is on the... wanted to speak, and then Mr. Weezer. Mr. Ridley Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
There's somebody who submitted public comment.
Thank you very much.
Ma'am, wherever you are, I don't have a copy of it. I've gone through all of these.
I did submit a couple of comments.
Well, I don't have them. I believe you, sir. I don't have them. All I can tell you is I can only go off of the ones I have. You could check and see if there's a... Thank you very much. I got you. No, I do have you.
No, you don't.
I can speak. Mr. Mayor, is it appropriate to allow... speaker by way of motion a couple of moments to speak, and if it's in order I would so move, just to clear this up.
Wait. I hear you. We're going to go by the process that we have
right
here. We're not picking on anybody.
No.
I only have the sheets that I have. Why don't we go to your original point so we could speak to that? Do you have a copy of it? Neither do I. So we're going to go by the process that we've established here. We don't have a sheet for you, sir, and unless it's in some other place.
Mr. Mayor, we're spending more time on the procedural issues. May I simply move that we accommodate
general public comment? Wait. You have signed? No. We've signed up for general public comment. Is it for this issue? Okay, since you signed up, why don't you do it?
With all due respect to the body, I sincerely respect this body, Mr. Mayor, and the panel. When demand goes up, you can lower prices and increase revenue. We have more poor today than we had 2 years ago. I ride buses. I'm a Hancock Park resident. I ride buses, and I suspect there are more people behind me riding buses than in front of me. I need no report to tell me about discrimination on bus process. The young lady who spoke about her children, listen. All you have to do to hear our city is to listen and ride the bus. I'm here in support of the Bus Riders Union. They talked to me yesterday accidentally. I'm glad I'm here today. I am a banker, an economist, and a businessman in Los Angeles. I've made more loans to low to moderate income tax than most people and anybody in this country. We are missing the boat. Don't listen to the people who say, cut back. We need more. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Reddy Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chairman. Obviously, this is a matter that is of critical import to any number of us. I find it, frankly, rather embarrassing to have the federal government, and specifically the Office of Civil Rights and FTA, have to reach into the business of the most diverse city region in the entirety of the United States of America and say, get your house in order in terms of these basic kinds of issues. I further feel that our credibility collectively, and I do not mean that simply as the board, but of the staff, is on the line here. I do not think we can simply allow this to go back for review without intense critique of the report that has come forward to us by staff. So, Mr. Mayor, your motion strikes me as being in order, but I just feel that it's time to ratchet it up. And that means for me that almost immediately this effort to have the monthly status report, that's essentially the best that we can do because that's the frequency with which we meet. But this can't be treated as, pardon the phrase, pedestrian. It cannot be seen as, you know, this is the cost of doing business. Mr. Leahy and the executive staff ought to be convened with rather immediacy, Mr. Chair, to ask how in the world do we find ourselves in this kind of situation and what do we mean by compliance? I mean with a capital C, such that this kind of embarrassment doesn't visit our doorstep again. It seems to me that's where we need to be. And Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chairman, I trust that we can push forward on that. Outreach is one of the areas here that is unfortunately lacking in terms of the report that comes from staff. Perhaps in our follow-up critique of that particular aspect is going to be critically important. And so I remained less than satisfied with the board's response, that is to say the staff's response. I think the motion by the mayor is an attempt to address it. It, in my view, doesn't get to the level of concern that I have, and I suspect we need to just keep working at this and call this just round one of this effort to make this right. Civil rights violations, as is called forth, ought not just simply be seen as business as usual. There's something unsettling about this, and I hope that we can figure our way through it. I'm supportive of the motion by the chair, but more is warranted.
Thank you very much, Chair. And as many of us and all of us, we welcome the report from the FTA. And with respect to the service cuts that we've seen at our agency, some of us on this board and others have recognized that the criteria we currently use as to what lines should be cut and if they should be cut was lacking in terms of having the correct information before us. This report highlights for us that with respect to potential violations of federal laws, that we also need that additional analysis as to what impacts this could have on certain communities. I hope that through this report we not only attempt to comply with federal law, but that we also look at what additional criteria we should use when we're thinking of cutting additional service. Many of us have come back to the board asking for lines to be restored, and in that process, we've examined that we need to do a better job in determining when and if lines should be cut. And with respect to item number 45 today, we adopted some standards with respect to our service lines, and my question is, if moving forward with our corrective action plan and what we adopted with item 45, is there any conflict? Is there any modification? Are they related? Are we doing something in 45 that perhaps we should be aware of with respect to how we're replying in our corrective action plan?
Codifying disparate impact.
Leahy?
I don't think so. I think that there's a requirement that we have a policy. There's not a requirement as to what the content of that policy be. As we go through this process in the coming months, as we have public dialogue, if there's a need to amend that policy in some fashion, we come back with that discussion at that time.
Okay, so there's nothing in 45 that would inadvertently obstruct any corrective action we would have to make in the future?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. And also, we're adopting the corrective action today. We got it as a board. We reviewed it. We're moving forward today. When do we have to comply with the corrective action? What's the timeline for that?
Mr. Chair, the urgent message from the FTA is that we should move promptly, quickly, to address the concerns on an as soon as possible basis. Not so much specific guidelines as to what that is. We have said to them that we expect to be in compliance with all areas except for the language proficiency in the springtime, June at the latest. We have said the analyticals required on the language proficiency will take longer, that will be resolved in the fall. The FTA understands the timeline required for that, and they've accepted that. I think they've been pleased at the overall commitment that we have made to address all issues and come into full compliance, and they have so said. We expect and we intend to do that.
Okay. Thank you. And so just to be clear, the next steps are, given the chair's motion, we would have monthly reports. And other than those monthly reports, what other reports or deadlines do we have before the FTA that we would allow us to have some input on how we are responding as a board, as an agency, to anything the FTA is requiring?
Dan?
Well, as I mentioned in the presentation, really all the decisions that we make that involve civil rights will have to go to the FTA first before we bring it to you. And so over the next...
Have to go to them first,
yes,
before you bring it to the board.
So that will be in place probably for at least the next year until we have all the deficiencies cleared up.
Okay.
And also we will be doing some outreach on some of the areas that on policy and definitions early in the next year.
When you say outreach, you mean a public process?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And my final comment is that, you know, as board member Thomas pointed out.
Thank you, Ms.
The public did not get
excuse me.
As board member Ridley Thomas pointed out, you know, we live in one of the most diverse areas in the whole country, and for our transportation agency to not do some very basic analysis on how this may impact some of those diverse communities, we are much better than that, and we should not expect anything close to this in the future. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. This public process that will occur, is it before or after?
We're going
stop.
Out. We'll be doing outreach to help us define the major service threshold, which defines when we do the service equity analysis, and also some of the new guidance that the FTA has put out for public comment asks us to define what a disparate impact is. So we'll be going out to the public and asking for input on that.
So we will do it before.
Yes.
Okay. And so that's very important.
So the process
I want to duly note that the concern here is that we not just do it after, but before as well.
Yes. So the process will be to do the public outreach, have some results, get some feedback from the FTA, and then bring it to the board to accept the policy.
Okay. Director O'Connor?
A lot of this has to do with making sure we do a rigorous analysis, as public counsel noted. And I think with the mayor's motion and the monthly reporting and the plan put forward by the staff, we will be moving with greater oversight towards achieving that rigorous analysis. One thing I did want to note in reading this, that the FTA, the very first finding says that has to do with inclusive public participation, said during the Title VI compliance review of Metro, no deficiencies were found regarding Metro's compliance with FTA guidance for inclusive public participation. In fact, that section goes on to point out that the model that was used for the congestion reduction project is a very good model, excellent model, and it even recommends that we should use that going forward, that we should continue to apply that. So the FTA does find that we have a good record at public participation, and I think we should not just rest on that, but step it up.
Thank you, Director O'Connor.
Move the item.
Item has been moved by Mr. Wilson, seconded by Mr. Ridley Thomas. Without objection, such will be the order.
Remedy has to be restoration.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We got that. There's nothing in this motion that indicates that otherwise, so I got you. Item 44. Item 44.
Move the item.
Mr. Chair, this will be real.
This item has been moved Is there any discussion? There's a public comment? Oh, no, there's not. He's not here anymore.
The employees in front of you just have on their new uniform. We're seeking to professionalize our staff. Thank you, guys.
Item's been moved by Director Fasana, seconded by Director O'Connor without objection. Such will be the order.
I do.
Item number 55. Mel. Item 55.
Move the item.
Second. Item has been moved by Mr. Fasana, seconded by Ms. O'Connor, to nominate Marissa Perez to the
Stop
Gateway. Very much. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Mayor, I was a little late. This is my first time here.
If you're going to leave,
If I could have had a minute, actually to speak my mind.
And you start escorting him out. We start it. We should have. Thank you.
Mayor.
Thank you very much. I can't hear you, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. Can you speak to the microphone?
But I voted for you, and I've been a bus rider for many, many years, and I just want to say this. You know, the Dash has been around almost as long, and they haven't went up on their prices. They're just barely went up like 15 cents. Like, I'm waiting hours for a bus. That 252, after I get off on Broadway, it stops running at certain times, and, you know, it leaves me walking a quarter of a mile.
Tell you what, if there's a specific complaint, I'll have somebody... You don't have a card, and I have.
I apologize. I really wasn't familiar with the procedures, but my actual complaint would be the fact that a 720 Rapid like hit my car.
That's what I was saying.
And never paid.
Mommy, come over to the side. I promise that we'll get somebody to look at this complaint here and address your issue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Lonnie, please.
Colette. Someone will be right with you.
I appreciate it.
Item.
Motion second of 55.
Been moved and seconded without objection. Such will be the order. Item 57. Item 57. This is Director Antonovich and Du Bois. Director Antonovich?
I'll move.
Okay, there's public comment. Mr. Walsh?
I'll second.
And second, moved by Mr. Antonovich, seconded by Mr. Walsh. By Mr. Fasana.
You're a little off. That throws you off track. All those uppity minorities. Won't they realize we need rail? Anyway, This is Antonovich's motion about, this is, of course, the connectivity. The answer to everything is build the regional connector. That's the answer to everything. And I'd like to point out, it really isn't bus versus rail service anymore. The service on the trains is almost as bad as the service on the buses. It's falling apart because you don't give a damn about service. You want to give your contractors jobs. Isn't it funny the way things are turning? Everybody's turning into John Walsh now. Everybody is turning into John Walsh. And I'm very, very upset about the racist attack on Mark Ridley Thomas on the front page of the LA Times about $500 lousy, and they
we did can
that
hear
because
you.
You're black.
We can hear you. Thank you very much.
We're 100% in favor. That was racism. And you know what happened yesterday? They fired the editor of the Times and replaced him with a man of color, what I've been asking for a long time.
Thank
racist.
You very much. Thank you, Dr. Tom Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. Connectivity, basic element. What's going to happen at Union Station? Because you have a radio program. However, radio programs are not as good as grid programs. So connectivity, how about connecting the Gold Line North to the Gold Line South? A north-south connector. How about getting it across the pole in the Mulholland Hills? Again, connectivity means that you start losing your flexibility. That is, if you lose Union Station for any reason, you start losing the entire system because they cannot connect. So connectivity, give us one, say, along Rosemead from 210 North to 60 South. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Item number 54. I'm sorry. We have to vote on 57. It's been moved and seconded. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number 54.
I'll move this item.
John Walsh. Public comment? Let me remind you, Mr. Walsh, that we can hear you. You don't have to scream. You just talk into the mic.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Shh. Mayor's worried about crimes of volume. You know, I remember listening to Martin Luther King. Wasn't he so loud? Couldn't he just calm down a little bit?
You are not Martin Luther King, my friend.
No, and neither are you. And neither are you.
Okay.
And incidentally, feel free 57. To insult me, because I insult you right back. In fact, I'm going to praise you. The bus is fine, except these buses have no shock absorbers. Try getting on the new buses and feel, if you go over a chewing gum wrapper, the bus jumps. Anybody out here has been on the new buses. Ask the operators. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you very much.
Confidential. Take your 13 seconds.
Bye. Thank you very much. Jose Rodriguez. Yes. Do you want me to go on?
Hello, once again, Jose Rodriguez. I'm just wondering about the purchase and replacement buses. I just want to remind the MTA. I know the MTA is, I don't know if they're planning to do this, but the LA DOT is doing it. They buy new buses, and then it's the same thing with the hours of service. The purpose of buying new buses is not really means that sometimes they really got to get rid of the old ones. There's some old ones, buses, that they're not new, but they can still be working out there because we prefer to have maybe kind of a little bit old bus, but we have the service on the streets, you know? So please do so when you buy new buses, you know. Also, right now, I think most of the new buses should be low floor. The new buses the LADOT have for Commuter Express, they're not low floor. So, I mean, what's up with that, you know? Please try and, you know, improve on this and, you know, keep on doing a good job. Not a bad job. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, board members. We've been asked, Murthy and I, Ruth Holden, the auditor, have been asked to brief you on two issues that are identified and discussed in the I-405 report. One is the oversight of the Buy America process, and the other is the oversight of the quality assurance process. I'm going to start by saying that the I-405 is in compliance and has always been in compliance with the Buy America provisions. What we found is that there was some inadequate oversight of the Buy America processes on the third-tier subcontractors. We brought these issues in front of MTA project management and the contractor. They took immediate steps to remedy the issue as to it relates to the Buy America oversight, including a zero tolerance for non-domestic steel and iron, new training for staff, drafting new procedures, and they're doing monthly audits that they're reporting those results to the MTA. And Murthy's here to talk a little bit about the QA oversight issues.
Yeah. The audit by our staff did find certain shortcomings in the process that's being followed. Since then, we had extensive training to our people, our staff, as well as the contractor staff. We also have, in addition to our oversight, we have Caltrans performing the oversight, and we also have FSWA looking at the process and procedures we follow in quality control and quality assurance. So we have addressed all the findings that we had in the report and taken corrective actions. We'll be happy to answer any specific questions. Mr. Mike Barber is here.
Okay, any questions? Okay, we have one speaker, Dr. Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, also ISO 9000 certified external auditor. Auditing, what a system where you have, no one knows about underground tanks. We found 39 during Red Line Phase 1. We know about underground tanks, but why was there a problem there? Maybe you need an inspector general to help the audit department. Maybe you need a better management audit, because these are fairly simple things, not like civil rights and compliance. You also have a capital project management issue, 09 CSA K01, about self-assessments of capital projects. Who's the self? Kind of interesting subject, and we'll be exploring that in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you. The motion? Second?
Yes.
Any objection? So ordered. Item number 19.
Yes.
Okay. Item 19 was approved by the Finance Committee. However, state law requires that a separate vote be taken by the board.
Second.
Any speakers for this item? If not, so without objection, so ordered. Number 33.
I'll move the item.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this item? Without objection, so ordered. Item 35. Supervisor Mike Ridley.
Mr. Chairman, I wish to acknowledge something that's positive that is going forward with the Crenshaw to LAX light rail line, and it's the Community Leadership Council representing a broad range of communities that really have come together to give their ongoing support, from Leimert Park through Inglewood, through the Lenox community, through Westchester, and a range of such entities. You have a letter from the chairs of the Leadership Council who essentially support their fellow members from the Westchester area with respect to the matter before us. I want to give acknowledgement to that. They conclude by saying that the matter is important, and they join the members of the Westchester community in asking the Metro Board to consider this matter, and to do so with a first priority being given to accommodating the Leimert Park Station pursuant to the earlier action that was taken by the board. I submit an amendment to item number 35 that essentially captures the sentiment of the Leadership Council toward that end, basically calling for support of what's before us, but doing so with priority consideration being to the Leimert Park Vernon Station. That is essentially the motion I place before the board for your consideration and adoption.
We have a number of speakers. Do you want to give a report first or not?
No, sir. We don't.
Okay. Let me call up
Mr. Chairman. I thought my motion was pretty clear about the order. I'm just trying to get clarification as to why we need an additional amendment. But we're pretty clear in the motion as it relates to.
She needs the motion.
No, I can't see. Yeah. Sorry. I just was wondering why we need the clarification, because my motion speaks to the order of priority, Leimert Park being number one and Westchester being number two.
The read of the motion did not satisfactorily address that, and because of the pressures, all of us know the financial pressures this and the other projects are under, we deemed it appropriate to amend with explicit language so that everyone would be clear that we're supportive of inclusion, but priority needs to be made explicit. That's why we delineate in the fashion that we do with number one, include the Westchester Station with the appropriate language as a bid option during the construction procurement. It goes further to say and establish a clear priority order for additional option with the condition that Westchester is contingent upon the Leimert Park underground being constructed. It's really important from our perspective that the priorities that we spent positioning this be maintained, and thus I offer this amendment in that regard. That is consistent with the suggestion of the Leadership Council, and I think we can support item 35 with this motion, this amendment.
Okay, let me call up Judy Citron, William Roberts, Dennis Schneider, and John Walsh. Before you speak, we have a supervisor, Irasowski.
I just want to, explain the underlining in the red lettering. Is that an amendment to something else? I'm just not clear on what the underlining is.
Right, the existing motion.
So which part of item number one in this motion is your motion, Don? And is the red what
my motion is without the red.
So your motion, because when you take out the red, it doesn't read grammatically correct. It's an establishing.
Basically, my motion established a pecking order of Leimert Park and before Westchester Manchester Aviation, in the Westchester area. I guess clarifies it. I was just trying to get the same read.
It says, and establish a clear pecking order for the additional option below that the Westchester, the Leimert Park, I guess it would have said, and the Leimert Park organization. I don't understand what your original motion, I can't decipher from this what your original motion said. That's all.
It doesn't have the strikeout of some of the other language.
Perhaps I can offer
Is this the original?
Yes, that's the
original. Okay.
Perhaps it would be useful to clarify the difference is the following. It's not a matter of priority alone, but it is a matter of contingent. That is to say that the Leimert Park station would need to be built prior to any of the other considerations that are coming forth in item number 35. We all know that the issue is an intense push for limited or scarce resources. And the concern is whether or not we move to a Westchester scenario, and that end up being a justification in any way, shape, form, or fashion not to get the Leimert Park station done. And I don't wish to pit these two against each other, but I think it's abundantly clear as to how important the Leimert Park piece is. So this is a further refinement so that staff is explicitly clear without any negotiation. And I respectfully request support of the amending motion.
All right. The second question I have is the Leimert Park study that's being done now coming out of the life of project or outside the life of project budget? Where's the staff? Paul, can you go ahead.
It's actually part of our life of project budget.
Why would this $300,000 is being proposed to come outside the life of project budget? Where's that going to come from? I mean, this is part of the project. All projects.
It would be within the budget, too. It comes out of the budget, too.
What budget?
The life of project budget.
Well, but according to the amendment that Supervisor Ridley Thomas is making, it says that $300,000 to complete the additional design engineering work near, for the station near Hendry come from sources outside the adopted life of project budget for the Crenshaw LAX.
You haven't seen that.
You haven't seen this? Can somebody get him a copy of this motion?
The point to be made is that the original Leimert Park was already approved. So to cause this $300,000 to be adopted today includes that in addition to what's already there in the life of project budget. So the point that is being made is that those resources can and should be located elsewhere. The Leimert Park piece was already done by board action. This is an additional amount that is then borne by the Crenshaw LAX project.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to just focus on the Leimert, but
no.
Let me finish. Whenever there is a project, especially a Measure R project these days, studies that have to be done are done out of the allocation. The Measure R project, the work that's being done on the subway extension, for example, is coming out of the Measure R allocation for the subway extension, including extraneous studies that had to be done because of the seismic issues in Beverly Hills and all that sort of thing. It's all coming out of the Measure R project. So it is diminishing the amount of money that ultimately will be available. This would be the first time that I'm aware of that an improvement or whatever the terminology is, a change in the project, the study of the project would come out of sources outside the life of project budget, which is fully Measure R funded, I believe.
You're correct.
So, Mr. Ridley Thomas, maybe while this goes, the public hearing goes on, I would urge you to reconsider that item number two.
Mr. Yaroslavsky, Supervisor Knob and I just, Director Knob and I just talked about it. It's, as far as I'm concerned, a rounding error at best. I'm not going to get hung up on point number two. Okay. I do want to make the point that there is a vulgar inconsistency in this agency. Where is Art Leahy?
I think he's speaking to a group of realtors.
A vulgar inconsistency with respect to issues like this. Now, what I hope to do is not have to roll back to the incredible amount of effort that was put into organizing to try to get this Crenshaw line teed up in an appropriate way. But there are so many inconsistencies and subjective decisions made here. And it's just really offensive to me. And it's not about the inclusion of Westchester. It is about how we argue about issues like number two. And I'm going to do you the courtesy of showing you precisely how similar things are done on other projects and ask then the question, how do we justify it on Project A and not on Project B? This is not worth much more discussion in my mind, Mr. Chairman. If there is consensus to move the amending language forward, striking item number two, I don't lose any sleep over that. The point is, it is more consistent to do this than not. But time is of the essence from my point of view. So I'd move the agenda if it's in your with your consent.
Elimination of item two.
Two.
Okay.
All right.
And the second. So that's on the floor. Now we have public comment.
Okay.
Ms. Citron.
I'm a member of the Westchester Neighbors Association, and we support the Hendry Station. I live only two blocks from where the Crenshaw LAX line is coming. When my neighbors first heard about this, we were told that there was a chance that there would be a maintenance yard that would block off Hendry Avenue. And as a result of that, and just the normal fear of the unknown, a number of people came out against the train. All that has changed now. The people in the neighborhood are definitely for the train. They're for the station. A lot of the train lines and other transportation lines are going to be coming through Westchester, and we think that we will bear the brunt of the construction and the train going through our neighborhood. We should be able to get on the train. It's really a question of fairness. So I hope that you all support this train station. Thank you.
Okay. So item number two has been struck. Denny Schneider. Hey, Denny.
Thank you. Thank you. I come before you, and I thank you very much for proposing keeping our station. It's the only one that wouldn't have been built. It helps us with our plan of hoping for a time when we don't have to sit in congestion. We are concerned. I mean, this is something that is covered by everybody, to the point where we have the Democrats, the Republican groups, the civic groups, the business groups, and the community groups all saying we need a Hendry station. There's no reason not to bid it, and I thank Supervisor Kanabe for his support of us. Thank you.
John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I hope you saw the census report. We are not number one in traffic congestion. We're number 17. An average trip in the morning is 8 minutes longer than the average trip anywhere in the United States. And I like what Mark Ridley Thomas, in his very polite way, called vulgar inconsistency. I call it racism. And as far as the mayor is concerned, this outbreak here, you call Connie Rice and you have her call Eric, and you tell him that if something like this happens again, that Connie Rice will cut off their money. You know the money she can cut off and the nonprofit. It will never happen again. You will never be insulted. Eric Mann makes $200,000 out of the money that Connie Rice gets him. So that's what you do. That's what you do. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Roberts, William Roberts.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Honorable members of this board.
Afternoon.
I'm a resident of Westchester. I am the vice president of the Westchester Democratic Club and a recent retiree of the Los Angeles City Attorney's Office Airport Division. I come here today with two letters that I submitted to this board, a signed letter from Congresswoman Maxine Waters giving her unequivocal support for a Hendry station. In addition, there was also a letter submitted to this board from the Westchester Democratic Club with its executive board giving its unanimous assent to a Hendry station. Other than for purposes of political expediency, I see no reason why, unless there's an engineering requirement, that the station at Leimert Park be built first. They should be at an equal footing as far as I'm concerned and as far as our members are concerned. Thank you.
That concludes our public comment. Mr. Ridley Thomas?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm going to ask the staff to justify the additional funding that was added to the Wilshire BRT item to study the Comstock outside the base budget. So whoever is responsible, that if it's Murthy or whomever it could be, it would be useful to know if we are talking apples to apples here, and we will find other examples of what I describe as inconsistency. It is just simply not acceptable. The second point that I want to make is no need to pit one community or one neighborhood against the other. And I'm going to appeal to the advocates for the Westchester station to resist such a temptation. This is to move that forward in an appropriate way, and any claim to the contrary is probably ill-advised. We thank you.
Thank you. So, Madam Secretary, so the motion before us, can we look at it? I see only, I can't see the whole thing. Is there a way to?
There's no way to show the whole thing.
Okay. So, item two has been
deleted.
It's been moved as amended. Mr. Ridley Thomas? You're an aye vote? Yes, Mr. Ridley Thomas. Mr. Yaroslavsky.
Can you respond, any of the people, the staff, to Mr. Ridley Thomas's last remark about the Wilshire Comstock?
Why don't we deal with this first? We can.
No. This is related to this. I just want to close the loop on that. Take 30 seconds. Are you in a position to do that now?
If it can take 30 seconds, fine. I am chairing this. Thank you. Okay. And what I don't want to do is have this degenerate into something
else.
It's
not going to degenerate.
On this item.
It's not going to degenerate. I just want to. I want to be clear on what the staff is saying.
Mr. Chairman, Director Yaroslavsky, I believe the suggestion was that the additional work for the Wilshire BRT west of Beverly Hills was done outside the LIFA project budget. My recollection is it was done within the LIFA project.
All right. Will you just get us a clarification on that?
I will.
Because I want to know what if he's right or if you're right.
I'll get that.
Thank you. The items before us. Yes, Mr. Director Kanabi?
I just wanted to clarify for the record. I've been told it's that way, but up there doesn't show it. Under my original motion, I assume this is replacing item 1A, that item 2 and 3 of the original amendment are still in there. Item 3 on the Mr. Ridley Thomas's motion is an addition. Am I correct?
Yes. Mr. Ridley Thomas,
yeah.
This is a question for you.
Okay.
You might want to, Mr. Kanabi.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
No, I mean, it's not clear on the screen. It's clear here. In other words, On, yeah. On the original.
Mr. Thomas?
Okay. All right. Item 1 has been replaced by his item 1. Okay. Item 2 on his amendment is gone. Item 3 is an addition to my motion. So A, 2A, and 3 are still in there, the rest of the motion. Okay. Right. So 2A and 3 and 1A are still in the motion. His motion replaces 1, not 1A.
Is that correct?
And item 3 is an addition. Be number 4.
Just Mr. Ridley Thomas, is that your... The reason why I'm calling on you, I want to make sure that...
Yes. That
you don't have an issue with that. Okay. I know. Trying to make peace in the family with all you guys. I love it. All right. Been moved and seconded as clarified by Director Kanabe. Without objection, such will be the order. Director Yaroslavsky?
I just think Mr. Taylor has the answer to the question.
Okay.
Has confirmed that the work on the Wilshire BRT was done within the LIFER project budget.
So let the record reflect that the work on the BRT project was done within the cost and scope of the original project. Mr. Ridley Thomas, it's been clarified that the BRT was done within the cost of the project. Just sharing with you. Trying to keep peace in the family here. All right. Item. Closed session. Thank you very much. Sorry, there is. Come on, you got to give it to me. I got you, Mr. Tom Williams. Give it to me. So. Yeah, we still have public comment. Everybody, apologize. Wasn't up there. Mr. Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, also member of Stop 710. No on 710.
Order. Yeah, please, can everybody...
Sit down!
Can you all... You may proceed, sir.
Thank you. 710. It's still a question as to what is 710. In the scoping process, we had 100 square miles of project area, but no lines on the drawings, although Supervisor Molina had a line. So we've been trying to figure out what 710 is. Yesterday, we had a truck accident. Just consider what a truck accident of that magnitude would have been like in an enclosed tunnel. That would be really interesting. We have some scenarios that we actually submitted as part of the scoping process, safety. However, one element within the city of Los Angeles is that the city of Los Angeles still has an agreement with Caltrans to allow the 710, no matter what, any way that they want it. We have a city council resolution that says no. 710 construction in L.A. Thank you,
Mr. Williams. Dr. Williams. Yolanda Gillis? Yolanda Gillis? Antonio Lopez, is there a translator?
I'm here.
A translator?
You are a translator of somebody?
Sí.
Okay, gracias. Thank you.
¿Quieres hacerlo? ¿Lo puedes hacer en inglés o lo quieres hacer en español?
En español.
¿En español?
Yes.
I think we have a translator, or at least we're supposed to have one. I know, we're supposed to. We have our own. It just let the BRU do it, but Where is our translator? She coming? Why don't we hold off for a second? Por un minuto. Vamos a. Mark Lopez? Mark Lopez? Mark Lopez? John Walsh? He didn't do a vote.
Walsh, Googling it, Walsh Confidential.
Translator.
To lighten the moment, I would like to say that I went to the Larry Zarian Memorial at the theater. It was a fantastic show. It ran 2 hours. It was hosted by our former mayor of Glendale, and he did an excellent job, Mr. Najarian. It was a great, and I just couldn't believe it. It opened with the colors, showing the colors of the United States, and it ended with showing the colors of Armenia. It was very, very well done. And they had a special famous star singing to Larry by tape. And I just want to point out that the L.A. Times has a new editor, and I'm asking him to keep Ari Bloomkatz in here, because the only reason he doesn't print the truth is was because of the editor who's leaving on December 23rd. And I'd like to say to the mayor, Merry Christmas, and get that call into Connie Rice and twist you-know-what on Eric Mann so he never does this again to you. It was disrespectful to you. I'm supposed to be the one who's
Thank
disrespectful.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Is the translator here yet?
I'm here.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you. That's fine. You can do it. But we're supposed to have a translator here, everybody. There are no. Look, we just all got up and said that we're concerned about the civil rights implications of not. Translating well, and having signage in different languages, we should have a Spanish-speaking translator here. So I apologize, but you will translate on his behalf. Mr. Lopez.
Buenos días, toda la mesa directiva que se encuentran en esta sala.
Hello,
y los que
Board
nos
of Directors.
Ven para afuera. Que todos los días de estos... De este sistema diciembre estén convertidos en holidays para que se conviertan en final y energía positiva en el año final 2011 y sean iguales
okay.
El día 2011.
Señor, ella tiene que traducir.
Happy holidays, and we hope that these days we are celebrating during the holidays end up as very happy and successful days in our lives.
Lo que quería yo decirles, ahora que vengan los sistemas de gente que fue a la guerra, a Irán, Pakistán.
Is now that our war heroes are coming home from Iran and Pakistan.
Que toda esta gente tenga una rehabilitación, que vaya a la escuela.
That all of these people go through a rehabilitation and are able to go to school.
Porque muchos de ellos pueden ir a la calle a pelear y a matar gente, lo como han hecho muchos.
Because many of them can go on the street and fight and kill people because they've been doing it for a while.
Entonces yo quiero que cada uno de ellos tenga diferentes y atraviese por diferentes escuelas y programas.
I want them all to go through different schools and programs.
Para que aprendan a poder convivir con los sistemas y gentes de diferentes tipos de colores.
So they can live in harmony with people of different types and colors.
Y por eso es que tenemos, yo digo que hay que recibirlo sí. Pero tienen
Gracias.
Que ir a la escuela.
Gracias, señor.
We want to receive them, but they need to go to school first.
Hey, everybody. I expect that henceforward we will have translation here. Jose Rodriguez.
And once again, Jose Rodriguez. I want somebody, I don't know who'd be the right person, but maybe some of you can put some hands into the LA DOT buses. What they're doing is terrible. They are increasing the fares every 11 months. And now, especially on the 431 that serves to Westwood, they're getting rid of the Loyola stops. So we used to have four buses, then they cut it only for two, and now it's only for one starting January 4. Somebody needs to put their hands under that, because what LA DOT is doing, it's just terrible. And the last thing I just want to say is thank you very much. I hope everybody have a happy holiday season. And thank you for everybody that's working hard to make this possible to have an MTA board meeting. And I just want to say is that, Mr. Chair, if you can improve more kind of sometimes your attitude to people, and actually I'm hoping the next time you can work on being here on time, and leave, and not leaving early, you know, because you're the chair, and we want somebody that we know.
Thank you very much.
You can hear us.
Thank you very much. And would you please come to the side so you can, sir? Why don't you go to the side so you can write down the line where you have an issue?
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then finally, Mr. Walsh.
I'm going to give you a minute's rest.
You're a good man. Thank you very much. Closed session.
Hey, Chris. Resume, and then I'll get it. Okay. You're okay.
The MTA board met in closed session and took the following action on item 60D, conference with labor negotiators, under Government Code 54957.6. The board approved a labor contract between the MTA and the UTU. That concludes my my presentation. The board took no further reportable action.